Good morning. I am so happy to see all of you. I've missed all of you greatly in my absence from Union. This will always be home to me. Every time I come home, it's like Dorothy, no place like home. Something on my mind as I've gone through my ministerial journeys and travels and been reading the Bible with all of you this year. We're in the middle of 1 Samuel. That's not where I'm going, though. But we're about to be in the part of the plan where there's a cluster of psalms every few days or so, like every maybe 1 to 3 days. We're going to read a cluster of psalms, where they may have been written or where they may appear in God's Word. And it's important that we know those, and I want to see a list of the psalms in chronological order because I don't know when they were written and which one was first. I think we read Psalm 90 and 91, but now we're about to read a whole lot more of them. And we also do have a Psalms and Proverbs reading going on, and I think we ought to be very familiar with those two books of the Bible because when you think about it, this just came to me a few weeks ago. The Psalms are like the song service of a church service, and the Proverbs are like the preaching. So you get singing and preaching right in the middle of Scripture. And it's very needful, just like coming to church on Sunday is for us. We're reading in Psalm 85, and that's where my mind is this morning. And I'll read it all just because it's a continual thought, but I'm going to focus really on mostly 3 through about 10 or 11. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah, but it's a heartfelt psalm just to turn humbly unto God and pray that he turns from anger and gives us peace and salvation. And we've sang such wonderful songs here this morning, the precious memories, God will take care of you as you at home got to listen to. And those songs are wonderful. They give us a sense of peace and joy and happiness and even a wonderful tune that's pleasant to the ear. But psalms aren't always like that. And these are songs. These are songs that are given praise to God that sometimes are not very pleasant, not very happy, and this is one of them. Just going through verses 1 and 2, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. He's brought back his people from every captivity they've been in. He's never forgotten his people. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and the way I understand iniquity is you know you're doing wrong, but you do it anyway. And we've all been there as far as committing iniquity against the Lord. Thou hast covered all their sin, not just part of their sin, not just the reasonable sins, not just the little sins and not the big sins, but all their sin. Christ covered all the sins of his people. And we are left with that thought with the word Selah, which is a Hebrew word for a rest. If you read a sheet music, you see that little squiggly in the middle of a measure of music, that means that part needs to stop and think and listen for the rest of the parts to join back in. So when I see the word Selah in Scripture, I think this is a time of reflection. Reflect on these two verses before we go into verse 3, which is, Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, which wrath is a very fierce and violent form of anger that we've all felt the wrath of God, we all know the wrath of God, and we understand the principle of the wrath of God is that man has fallen into death and trespasses and sins and is deserving of the wrath of God. We deserve the wrath of God, and on behalf of our sins, I deserve it. But we won't get it. It's been abated by the blood of Jesus Christ, as we sang just a minute ago, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thou hast turned away thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Anger is a fierce, violent, mad passion that we all understand. But God's anger is not a fickle anger. It's not a petty anger as it is with us. It's not an anger just out of annoyance or stress or frustration. It's a righteous anger. God has a right to be angry. And before I came to the truth, I was taught that God didn't have an anger. He didn't have a hate. All he was love. And God is love. And we ought to know the love of God and to understand the love of God and keep a knowledge of the love of God. But to understand the love of God, we have to know that we didn't deserve the love of God. We deserve the wrath of God, and he has a right to have a wrath of God. But he chose mercy, and I'm going to define that later on, because the definition of words is just so important. I have some definitions written down because it's so important that we understand these words, because how often do you take in your day to define words? I don't do it enough. And we need to understand these concepts because the Bible is written plainly for the children of God, so we need to understand Scripture in their primary, understood, and easy to grasp meaning, kind of like reading a sign on the road. If that sign out there going down Cox and heading to Keene didn't say stop, but it said halt thy automobile, I may not turn it around in time to see it. The Scripture makes it plain so that, you know, the man that runneth doesn't have to run and get a dictionary to understand what's being said. You can understand it in its primary and common meaning. And the common meaning of wrath is just a violent form of anger, and anger is a passion of the mind incited by an injury. So somebody does you wrong, or you're wrong because you're a man in sin, it's going to drive God to anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. And cease means to just stop moving. Just stop thy anger. Stop it from moving. Salvation, of course, is a verse we often associate with Christ giving us eternal life from death and sins to life in Christ. That's the theological meaning of salvation. But salvation has another meaning, and it's just simply preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. Or as we would call it today, a time salvation, or a here and now salvation. There's a deliverance right now that we need to remember. It doesn't, when you hear saved and salvation in Scripture, it's not always saved from death and sins to eternal life in Christ. But this salvation here is talking about eternal life because it's God of our salvation. He is the God of that salvation. He's the God of time salvation as well. He's the God of all salvation and any salvation. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? That's a rhetorical question. The Bible has many of those because he won't be angry with his people forever. He saved them. Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Of course, we read in the Old Testament how God visited the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of these Israelites. He doesn't forget things. He's not a God of forgetfulness, but he's a God of mercy. And he won't be angry with us forever. If we confess our sins, he is just and able to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's stopping his anger. That is thwarting or putting out his anger, just like you would put out a fire. Our prayers are powerful. Do you pray enough? Did you think to pray today? I haven't yet. I haven't been up long enough. And I feel very guilty when I don't pray enough. My prayer life needs some help. Pray for me. Wilt thou not revive us again? Doesn't it feel wonderful to hear song lyrics said in the scripture? That's where it says revive us again. We sing that song. We need constant revival. Not just revival as in fill the pews out there, but revival in our hearts. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Mercy is just a benevolent love causing one to forget an injury or dispose an injury. It is love overpowering anger is what mercy is. So show us thy benevolence, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Peace is a calm, a tranquility, and there is peace with the Lord more than low tide on an ocean or just quiet of the morning. It's a sense of quiet and tranquility, and with the Lord there's nothing like it. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, his elect, his chosen, the ones he loves. But let them not turn again to folly, which a more modern word for that is just stupidity, imbecility of mind, weakness of intellect. Answer not a fool according to his folly, that you'd be like unto him, but answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And some people get so tripped up by that passage in Proverbs 26 to take a detour. The way I see that is, if you're in a debate with someone, you ought to answer them in love. You ought to speak the truth in love, lest he thinks, well, I must be a pretty wise guy because you don't have an argument. But if you just keep flinging mud at each other, making all these back and forth accusations and ad hominem attacks and other sorts of attacks in a debate, then it's really useless. You're just as foolish as he is. Sometimes people read that and they just don't understand the difference between answering and not answering. It's important to keep in mind. We all have a folly. We all have a shortcoming. I'm not very smart. I don't understand many things, but folly is just a false idea. It's stupidity. It's a weakness of the mind. We need to be sharp in our minds and humble in our minds towards the truth. Mercy and truth are met together. And truth is just an acceptance of fact. Christianity is a religion based off fact, of truth. There are not fairy tales or Aesop's fables in this book. It is based off truth. History, mathematics, science, that's all in there. It is based off true historical facts. Everything from creation on down to the new heaven and new earth is truth. It's fact. And when that's met with the mercy of God, it's a wonderful, tranquil peace of mind. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That language throws my fallacious mind sometimes. And the words each other are in italics because when the King James translators wrote the scripture, sometimes Hebrew and Greek don't always translate to English as flowing, so they put in words. So each other is in italics there. I don't know if that's added or not. It probably is. But righteousness and peace have kissed. They have met as a couple kissing one another. One has led to the other. And righteousness is a purity of heart and a rectitude of life. So you hear truth and you have purity of heart, purity of mind. You're not swayed by the doctrines of men or by culture or whatever's popular of the day. You take on righteousness through what is true. You hear truth, you accept it, and you do it in righteousness. Sometimes we can be righteous in our hearts and minds, but not always in our actions. Or we can be righteous in our actions, but not in our hearts and minds. We need to be both. We need to be both spirit and in truth. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him. You know, purity of heart shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. I've spoken a lot of verses. I've read many verses. And I implore the men that are called on to introduce services just to read a psalm that you'd like to share with the congregation if you be called on, so that we may edify one another. Because going through these verses gives you such a clarity of mind as to what the scripture says. Let us follow truth. Let us worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and let us know what is truly true, and never stray from it, never take it for granted, and understand what the Lord would have us to know. And with that, I'm going to lead in prayer, and I'll ask Brother Marty to come on up. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I hope that what I've said has been edifying. Let nothing that has proceeded from my mouth that has come out of thy word fall to the ground. Lord, I pray for Brother Marty and his wisdom and knowledge to lead the congregation. Fill him with the knowledge and understanding to share with us. Be with those that are hurting in the congregation and need your loving, tender care and consolation at this hour. And please continue to let mercy reign in this place. And we pray that you continue to forgive us on behalf of our many sins, as you did through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.